is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
With Malcolm Holinein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, my colleague and friend and co-host, and we're very pleased to welcome Joseph Umar, the Executive Director of Secure Free Society, who takes us to a trial recently concluded in the Americas involving a man accused of being a Hezbollah agent, a terrorist agent. And yet, Joseph, a very good evening to you. This trial you featured for some time as a breakthrough if the conviction came from the court in Peru, the conviction of a Hezbollah agent operating in South America. There was a confession. And then what happened, Joseph? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So, yeah, this was a tremendous missed opportunity on behalf of Peru. Had they been able to convict this accused Hezbollah operative, then they would have been the first country in the history of Latin America to have a terrorism conviction on an operative from Hezbollah. There's been a lot of criminal convictions for counterfeiting, contraband, immigration fraud, and other things against Hezbollah supporters, financiers, but never a terrorism conviction. And that includes in the AMIA investigation in Argentina for the bombings in Buenos Aires. So this huge missed opportunity happened because, frankly, the Peruvian courts aren't up to the task. They don't have the knowledge. They don't have the wherewithal. They don't have perhaps even the legal mechanisms to be able to fully understand and prosecute and convict Hezbollah trials. If this guy had said he was from Sendero Luminoso, the Shining Path, the domestic terrorist group in Peru, he would have been thrown, he would have been locked up and convicted for 25 years very easily. But because he says from Hezbollah, you know, in Peru, that seems like such a foreign concept. And that's pretty much what led to him being absolved for the second time. But there's something really, I think, weird going on in Peru with a lot of this stuff, because the same week that they absolved him, which was a couple weeks ago on April 11th, Peru did something, the Peruvian government did something that caught a lot of people by surprise, which is for the first time they also received diplomatic credentials from Iran. Iran has tried repeatedly to open an embassy in Lima in Peru for years, and it's repeatedly been denied by consecutive Peruvian governments. And we know there's been a lot of them over the last few years. It's alarming to me that the current Peruvian government, the government of Dina Boluarte, decided to actually make the move. And so what they did was they received the diplomatic credentials of the Iranian ambassador in Ecuador to serve as a concurrent embassy for Peru as well, opening a diplomatic channel, which can then Iran use to perhaps open an embassy in Lima in years to come. So this was a very big disappointment because, as we know, Iran's kind of a pariah state in the international community. And I don't know what they need to be having diplomatic relations with Peru for.
Malcolm?
Talking about pariahs, Lula da Silva just came back from visiting China, as well as the UAE. So have relations between Brazil and China. It's been a member of the BRICS for a while. But since da Silva took over the presidency, has it changed? Is there a new Russian-China-Brazil alliance in the offing?
No, there is Malcolm, and I would say Russia, China, Iran, and Brazil alliance for sure. And the economics is a big part of this. I mean, look, Lula was always aligned with what they called the Global South, and he was always looking at, you know, pivoting towards China as premier partner in foreign policy. It's the largest trade partner already. He flirts with the United States. He talks nice with the United States, but he really doesn't care for having a strong or positive relationship with the United States. And I think this Lula da Silva 2.0 is probably going to be even more distant to the U.S. than the previous one. And with that, I think this economic alliance, essentially it's an assault on the U.S. dollar. It's going to make some effects, and I'll tell you why. Because perhaps the biggest commodity is actually somewhat in Brazil, but it's mostly in other parts of South America and even in parts of North America, Mexico in particular, which is lithium. And these Latin American socialist governments, they're talking about creating essentially a sort of OPEC mechanism, cartel for lithium. So that's what's behind the nationalization of lithium in Bolivia, the nationalization of lithium in Mexico, the prospects for nationalization of lithium in Chile. And Lula da Silva is 100% going to promote this. There's some lithium in Brazil as well, but he's going to look at creating the lithium markets, creating the energy markets, and other markets in ways that are beneficial to China in transactions that are going to be traded in non-dollar denominated trade, which is going to severely affect the U.S. dollar. So this is a big part. It doesn't make any sense economically, but it does make sense geopolitically, which is, I think, this is where this alliance is going.
Joseph, the foreign minister of Russia, Sergei Lavrov, his charm offensive. Brasilia, Caracas, Havana, Managua. Was it a success?
Well, it was a success for what they're trying to do, which is essentially shore up this alliance that they're building in Latin America. And this is something I've always said in relation to the war in Ukraine, that when Russia either is about to get defeated or about to move on to a next phase, they're going to start playing the Latin American card much heavier. And I think that's what we're seeing. I think we're seeing them now making moves into the Western Hemisphere, because I think in Ukraine, they've kind of evolved to this next phase of their warfare, which is much more economic. And in that sense, Latin America is a primary target of opportunity and destination. So Lavrov's visit was about shoring up with this alliance, was about signing agreements. He, and not Lavrov himself, but other Russian officials have already signed agreements with Latin American countries to do non-dollar denominated trade. And I think Lula is positioning himself to essentially be a kind of a peace broker inside the Ukraine war, which it's not going to be a real peace. It's basically a criminalized peace where he's going to favor Russia and China to basically take more territory away from the Ukrainians.
Is there any indication that either the Ukrainians or the Russians really want him to play the role? I understand they want to manipulate the outcome, but is there any indication that a serious mediation role for De Silva would be possible?
So I think all roads lead to Beijing on that question, because I don't know if it's necessarily Russia's intention to place him as a mediator or to create some level of role for Lula in that conflict. But I think Beijing very much looks at Lula as a player. And I think, you know, Beijing put their 12-point peace plan together, and what Lula's job it would be, not to promote an actual real document or peace plan, it's essentially just to create a club of nations, to be sort of a representative, a symbol, where he can recruit countries in Latin America, recruit perhaps even countries in Africa and Europe, just create a list of countries that are going to say that they support China's 12-point peace plan, which, as we know, is one that's much more favored towards Vladimir Putin. So I think that China is really the one pushing Lula in the Ukraine conflict.
To return to Hezbollah, the assassination of the prosecutor Peche in Colombia. There's an election in Paraguay within hours on Sunday. Is the investigation likely to be stopped or go forward faster after the election, Joseph?
Oh, that's a great question, John. It's hard to know, really, to be honest with you. They've made some arrests, and they've caught some of the people that were involved in the murder of Marcelo Pecci, the prosecutor from Paraguay. But they really haven't gone after the intellectual authors, the people that actually planned, organized, and ordered the hit on the prosecutor while he was visiting or getting married in Colombia. And so I'm not sure about what is going to come. But I do want to make a point in the sense that the Paraguayan election does have very big geopolitical ramifications. Not to mention there's this weird Russian bombardier jet that just refueled in Paraguay that was, you know, got all the Southern Cone folks very confused because it could have just refueled in Buenos Aires. But more to the point, Taiwan is pretty much on the ballot inside the Paraguayan elections, because Paraguay is one of the last real defenders of Taiwan in the international community. And depending on the outcome, that could change after this Sunday.
Joseph Umar is the executive director of Secure Free Society. The Hezbollah trial in Peru, a disappointment. The assassination of the prosecutor in Paraguay linked to Hezbollah and other bad actors, so far a disappointment. Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Malcolm.